Broadcasting live on the OpsLens app, iHeartRadio, Mojo 50 Radio, and online worldwide at thepcradioshow.com.
Show once again on Patriotically Correct, as we will welcome Craig the Sawman Sawyer, a Marine, a Navy SEAL, Federal Air Marshal, and founder of Veterans for Child Rescue. He's here with an absolutely shocking story about his friend and personal hero who's being literally killed by medical care providers at an Arizona hospital. Do not miss that interview. Also, upcoming on today's PC Radio, we'll have never-before-seen footage of the so-called January 6th violent insurrection at the United States Capitol in Washington, D.C. We'll talk to the man that documented evidence that patriots and Trump supporters were not the inciters of the destructive and horrific actions on that day, but that outsiders from other groups were agitating and encouraging these heinous acts. But first, I need to take a moment to address some thoughts that I was having over the weekend. In 2016, the helplessly ignorant and hopelessly empty soul of Michael Moore gave a speech in front of a flock of easily influenced Hollywood sheep, at which point he sarcastically predicted the election victory of Donald J. Trump, saying that his election would be the biggest FU ever recorded in American history. What Moore didn't know was that his prediction would prove to be prophetic. Moore said that the middle-class Americans, who he referred to as the Blows, John Blow, Jane Blow, and all the other Blows, had been forgotten about. He made reference to the shitty Obamacare bronze plan and referred and referenced a speech that Donald Trump gave in front of motor company executives promising to tariff any vehicles sold in this country that were manufactured elsewhere. Moore called it, quote, music to the ears of Americans who had never heard anyone talk like that before. Nobody had dared look big corporate enterprise in the face and say such things before Trump. Trump was elected by an overwhelming landslide, almost embarrassing to Hillary Clinton, after he made the promise to expose corruption, secure our borders, and never waver in the face of political correctness for the sake of backroom deals in D.C. Trump couldn't be bought then, and nothing has changed since. As a result of making good on the promise to begin to drain the swamp, Trump became targeted by a global cabal with unharnessed power, billion-dollar financiers, and propaganda-spreading media, unshamed by their total fabrication of stories, lies, and deceit, false narratives, and indoctrination driven by the same corporations and big-box investors that perpetuate the agenda to end Trump's reign out of fear that the whole damn thing will blow up. It would end careers, expose real criminals, send many to jail and even to the gallows for committing the highest crimes you could ever imagine. Not limited to racketeering, embezzlement, organized syndicate crime, these animals would become known for their evil and predatory acts against children, including sex trafficking and murder. Hollywood, D.C., corporate executives, and elected representatives were the key participants, and high-tech ran cover for all of them, censoring and deleting anyone that tried to expose the deepest corruption you could ever imagine. The full assault on free speech had to happen to silence any influencer or person of integrity with a platform that was unafraid to shine the light on these cockroaches as they scattered to hide under whatever lies their counterparts could manufacture, shielding the satanic evildoers from justice while deleting and banning those platforms. The media knew about Jeffrey Epstein years ago, and they suppressed the story, covered it up, completely ignored it. Why? Why did they run cover for Hunter Biden, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and now Joe Biden? Why hasn't Biden been asked a single question about policy, the plethora of documented previous and continued lies, plagiarism, hypocrisy, or the radical cabinet he promises to bring to Washington as the days of darkness approach? To answer that question, we must first acknowledge how simple the answer really is. When crimes are committed, the criminals always try to cover their tracks. to delete digital or electronic evidence, hide weapons, wear masks, disable security systems, have an alibi, try to get their story straight, and then lie to any investigator or anyone that asks them about the crimes. That's just the way it is. It's the way it's always been. It's the way it will always be. Criminals are typically narcissistic liars, and a lot of them have addictions to drugs, alcohol, sex, porn. They're disgusting filth. They're the filth that stains our existence as Americans, and that's the reason that we embrace law enforcement and support the actions of cops so fervently on this program. We want a good community to live in, safe neighborhoods for our kids, and the protection provided by police that makes these things possible. I mean, if I've been drugged, am I saying things that seem fringe? Am I way off my rocker here, or am I making some kind of sense to you? For the most part, speaking for myself, I have grown up trusting law enforcement. I trust the FBI and the CIA and other local, county, state, and federal law enforcement agencies were the foundation of honesty. They were the foundation of justice. I could never imagine that the biggest criminals of them all would have infiltrated these agencies and corrupted the criminal justice system from the top down like they have. And we would have never known it, at least not at the expedited pace that we have learned about these bad actors now, if not for the presidency of Donald J. Trump. So now where do they go? Where do they hide? What actions can the evildoers take knowing that their game is up? Their high crimes have been exposed. Where do they go? Well, they lie. They just lie right in your face. They say it didn't happen. And if you should so dare as to argue with them, they'll cancel you. You'll be a racist, a bigot. You'll be doxxed. You'll be outed. This is extremely dangerous. The cancel culture is a cancer that's rapidly spreading throughout the United States. The cancel culture is the real pandemic. And there are literally tens of millions of Americans that have no idea what's going on. They've been force-fed these lies ad nauseum by the lying media outlets labeled very early on in Donald Trump's campaign as, quote, the fake news. He was right. And although we were able to chuckle at Trump's blunt rhetoric and comical honesty, we have to now look at this as a very serious issue. And this is what I've been saying about Donald Trump and the thing that everyone needs to understand. Donald J. Trump is not a politician. That's clear. He's never been a politician. He's been targeted by this deep state worldwide cabal since he came down that escalator because they knew he would expose as many of them as he could get his hands on while he had the power to do so. Trump is a mastermind. He's been five steps ahead of these evil radicals for many years, and he's still out in front. The big news everyone is waiting for isn't going to happen on the 20th or before, in my opinion. I just want you to understand that's not what I'm saying here. Trump's presidency has been the biggest FU ever recorded in American history. And although we can agree that Michael Moore is a sadistic pig, we can also agree that he was right. Trump has made good on nearly every campaign promise he made, despite being mostly alone through his entire presidency. And even more impressive, he's done it while being stabbed in the back by every single person around him, with just a handful of notable exceptions. We've heard Trump repeatedly say that he would never give up. He would never surrender, and he won't. Donald Trump is just one man, but Donald Trump has been the lighter to the flame of the great awakening of American patriots that now know exactly what's on the line, who's responsible for the assault on our republic, and how to defeat them. The best really is yet to come. Craig Sawyer is up next. Don't go anywhere. PC Radio is on.
The PC Radio Show with Stu and Rich. Back in a minute.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4812. 800-978-4812. 800-978-4812. That's 800-978-4812.
Their mama's always told them they'd never amount to anything.
You know what? I am going to ground you for 3 months.
Yeah, they were right.
Why doesn't anybody ever listen?
Stuart and Richard, PC Radio is on.
Craig Sawyer is a Marine, a former Navy SEAL, Federal Air Marshal, and the founder of Veterans for Child Rescue. You can get involved with his great work at vetsforchildrescue.org. Now, we've had Sawyer on the program before to highlight his efforts to track down and arrest those that hurt our kids, mainly through child sex trafficking. But he's here with a different kind of revelation today, a very important message that everyone should pay very close attention to. Craig, welcome back. Thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you, Stu. Good to be back with you.
I retweeted a YouTube video that you recorded and posted just yesterday about a friend and personal hero to you that's dealing with COVID-19, but it would seem the real killer in his case isn't the virus at all. Tell the story.
Well, I was upset. I was trying to reach out to Rick, my friend, Rick Hetzel, and he's in a hospital in Phoenix, and he is essentially dying. And I'd been texting him and asking him how he was doing and when we could get together. And the text that I got was that it was misspelled. I could tell he was not at himself. And it basically was a short text that said in hospital with COVID and pneumonia. And so I followed up by saying, hey, I'm praying for you. We're rally support. Let me know if you need anything, if you need any meds or nutrients or anything like that they may not be providing you, and we'll hope that you basically I expected him to be up and out of there within 2 weeks, like a hard charging frogman would, you know, healthy, strong guy that's lived a strong and healthy lifestyle. And after a while, that was on 10 December that was last that I'd spoken to him.
Okay.
And so that it wasn't until about a week ago that I got a response, and it was from his daughter texting me on his phone saying that he was not doing well. And so I follow back up saying, oh my God, let's rally around him then and provide some support, because he should not still be there.
Right.
What's going wrong? And she connected me to Rick's wife, Dottie, and I began networking with her, and she began sharing with me what was going on. And that is that the hospital and doctors had not been inclined to give him the medicines that have been proven to heal COVID, but they rather had just put him on a ventilator and kind of written him off to die, and that he was declining, that he was no longer responsive, and that she was scared for his life.
Now, I don't want this video to get banned from everywhere because we mentioned certain things. Even though we know what the truth is, if you mention these things, boom, you're banned immediately. So without mentioning the names of the medicines, we know what they are. They've been talked about in the news quite a bit. And then, of course, mainstream media wants to cover and suppress these methods, along with Fauci and those Burks and those responsible for supposedly mitigating and handling the risk and collateral damage associated with this virus. The president, he wasn't ventilated. He's in his 70s. He wasn't ventilated, and he made a full recovery in 5 days. He was out in front of tens of thousands of people, I believe, in the super hot heat down in Arizona, actually giving a speech right after he recovered from COVID. So what is it about this situation that's different? Why are they not giving him the attention that he needs?
That's what I wanted to ascertain, Stu. And I connected Dottie to President Trump's doctor who had treated the president. And that doctor advised Dottie on the list of protocols that are proven to heal COVID patients.
Mm-hmm.
And Dottie approached the doctor, the handling doctor, and he scoffed at those medications and nutrients, and particularly on the nutrients side, and just laughed at her. What's that going to do?
Mm.
So he was either A, uneducated on the facts, or B, he was corrupt and willing to let the patient die without giving them the known cures
and collect the check.
So that really sent me into a state of frustration and anger, because I saw that there was a lack of good faith to treat and heal patients. And I made a video sharing what I knew, and hundreds of thousands of people have seen the first video now. I made a second one last night on an update to the situation with Rick and his wife in the hospital. But it's just a situation to where it seems like there is a financial incentive, yeah, for our our medical institutions to increase the number of COVID deaths on specifically on ventilators. Mm-hmm. And that there's the doctors and medical professionals that I'm talking to are all admitting, yeah, it's a $38,000 or $39,000 cash incentive to hospitals for every COVID death that is on a ventilator. And that's why you see all these witnesses, thousands of witnesses across the country saying, yeah, my husband was in a car crash and they put COVID on his death certificate because they get cash for it. And that's why I believe that they're not following through with so many of the treatments that they have stockpiled on hand in the hospitals. They are not administering these medicines and these treatments in good faith to heal the patients because they can get wealthy by letting the patients die. And one of the more alarming, newer facts of this case that I've learned yesterday was that they have been severely medicating Rick. They've been basically tranquilizing him, sedating him so that he cannot advocate for himself. He cannot refuse further treatment. He cannot refuse when they put him on the ventilator. And it's my understanding that Rick never wanted to be put on a ventilator in the first place because he already knew that that was practically a death sentence. Because my understanding is the ventilator causes the lungs not to exercise and function properly. The ventilator breathes for them and the lungs essentially break down and quit functioning and they get weak and the patient expires because they're unable to have the strength of the lung system to breathe and aspire properly. So it seems as though the system, and this Rick's just one case of who knows how many countless hundreds of thousands of people who are essentially set up to die in the hospitals rather than be treated in good faith so that they can walk out of there. Are the hospitals full of people? Yes, they're all claiming that they're full to overflowing, but why are they full? They're not full by my observation and understanding. Now, after talking to hundreds of people about this, many of them doctors, is that they're not healing people and getting the hospitals emptied that way, sending the people back out into the world, you know, stronger and fresher. They're letting them die.
They're killing them
on the backside. They're killing them for the cash incentive. My question, Stu, and I think it should be all of our questions, is why is there any sort of cash incentive for death in a hospital? If you want success, you incentivize success. You don't incentivize failure. If you paid the Super Bowl team hundreds of millions of dollars to lose the Super Bowl, what do you think's going to happen? Mm-hmm. That's my problem. That's the biggest glaring red alarm and flag that people should see in this situation is, whoa, wait a minute. There's a cash incentive for deaths, and there's no cash incentive for saving people's lives?
Well, didn't we learn before, Stu, that there was a payment to these medical facilities for treating a COVID patient, but it was like $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 or something like that. And then the deaths are when they get the huge check for, I thought it was $38,000. I think that's what you said too, Craig. That's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
We know the answer.
Evil is crazy.
We know the answer to that question.
It doesn't make any sense because all it does is destroy. The Bible says Satan comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. And so when you see something that is essentially evil, that is destroying, it's destructive, it's inherently messy, and it's not going to make sense.
There's something.
And so my thing is, let's cause our country to make sense again. Let's do what works instead of this.
There's a little delay here, so I'm sorry. I'm not trying to interrupt you. There was something that was really revealing. That's even more shocking in your YouTube story. I'm going to ask you that in a second. But to answer your question, I think we can really put this quite simply. This virus was manufactured in China. This virus was released intentionally in China. We know that Barack Obama and Anthony Fauci were personal investors in a lab called Wuhan, in Wuhan, China, before this thing was ever even known about. Now, I don't know about you, but my financial advisor that lives in New York and works in New York, he didn't call me with a tip, an insider tip saying, hey, you really got to invest in this lab in Wuhan, China. It's a really obscure thing, but just trust me on this. Because somebody knew something, there was a financial stake in the game, and they had something to gain by this. And if you want to really get deep, go down the rabbit hole, if you will, the global cabal, the faction, the secret political society succeeds when they thin the herd, when they accomplish depopulation. So really they are, to answer your question, rewarding success when they're killing off COVID patients. But the thing that got me the most, and the reason why I really wanted you to tell your story here today, he signed a DNR without signing a DNR. For those of you that don't know what a DNR is, this is a do not resuscitate. A lot of people put this in their living will. No. If I'm going to be dying, I don't want to be resuscitated. How did he sign it if he wasn't even with it and conscious?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Yet they claim they have a DNR and they are trying to execute that document by pulling the prog on Rick's respirator and allowing him to pass.
Who is the person that put this DNR together? Who wrote this thing? Did his attorney? Did his wife? Does he have a power of attorney? Who wrote it?
His wife did not write it. His wife does not authorize it or respect it. Rick is unresponsive and unable to write it. So it appears as though the hospital staff fabricated the DNR and is trying to execute that document. And it seems to me that that is illegal. Talking to doctors in other states, they said, Craig, I'm not positive about Arizona, but I'm pretty sure that is illegal as all get out. So look, if that were you on that ventilator and you were a patriot and you had fought and sacrificed for your country and you were a strong Christian father and husband and lover of your country and you defended our freedoms and liberties, you would hope that somebody would treat you better than that if you were down.
Sadly,
and
we're seeing that.
This is the darkest, most upsetting situation I've seen outside of the child trafficking, I think, in my lifetime. Yeah. It is a type of genocide, and I understand that's a buzzword, and that's going to send people into a spiral and frenzy. But when you have a systematic, nationwide and even global system or situation where you are intentionally setting people up to die in hospital care mm-hmm. rather than heal them and let them walk out the front door, that is technically genocide. That's a genocidal campaign. Now, yeah, you talked about China. Well, yeah, China's positioning to take over the United States. If you research a lot of our politicians who are corrupted, you'll see ties to China. You'll see multi-billion dollar contracts and millions of dollars in payouts to the politicians and the politicians' families to China. And those are the ones, coincidentally, the same ones telling us that we have to be terrorized about COVID. We have to lock down our economy. So if you take a step back from my life and experience in counterterrorism and in federal law enforcement and in the intelligence community, you look at it from an international perspective and you realize, okay, China wants to take over the United States for communism. Well, what do they do? What's in the communist playbook to do? Well, they mean to demoralize and destabilize the American populace so that we'll be desperate and accept something as dark and abusive and all controlling like communism, specifically Marxism, would be. So we won't vote for communism outright. It has to be sugar frosted and called democratic socialism. It's for the little guy, for the American public to be unwitting enough to say, duh, I'll vote for that. It's for the little guy. And then lo and behold, you know, you're in the back of the creepy rape van and the candy's not the candy after all. You're getting seriously abused. So they mean the strategy from China is to break down the United States, to break down our economy. That's the strategic objective, break down the American economy and set us up for global takeover. But the tactics are to kill a lot of people in the hospital, call it COVID. Yeah, they do have the COVID virus, or at least
Trojan horse.
Flu, and they're putting them on ventilators. But whatever's going on biologically, the people are ending up dying. And through that, the mainstream news media, who's owned by globalists also, are chanting the rhetoric of fear, 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 lockdown, 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 shut down your businesses. and allow the economy to tank. That gives us the devastation that the communists want to, in order for us to vote for communism.
If Americans were accepting of this, there wouldn't be 39,000 troops in Washington, D.C. to try to protect a virtual inauguration. Richard, real quickly, you had something here?
I was just wondering, Craig, is this a VA facility that your brother is in?
It's not. It's now, to Trump's credit, he has really done a lot to revamp the VA and cause the VA to be accountable and step
100%,
up.
100%, yes.
By my observation, the VA is taking a lot better care. And I go to the VA. I don't have a lot of money, so I go to the VA as my health care. And they've done much, much better since then. So this is a facility called Honor Health in Scottsdale, Arizona. And so we need lawyers to contact the chief of staff there and say, look, you kill this guy, there's going to be hell to pay. You've got an illegal DNR that you're trying to utilize to pull the plug on him. How dare you? We will fry that hospital. We will own that hospital and we'll expose it. We'll film a documentary and we'll break down your entire campaign against the American people doing this nationwide. So, Stu, by exposing this, I'm hoping that countless others can avoid this nightmare.
Yeah.
They can be made aware and empowered from it and simply stay the heck out of the hospitals, or at least go to a hospital that's known to administer the proper healing therapies and nutrients and medicines that that heal the patients rather than kill them and usher them out the backside for the $38,000 cash incentive.
I'm going to use 100% of our platform to make sure that everybody knows about this. And then also just to ask, you will keep us updated on this, correct?
Yes, sir.
You have my number.
I'd be happy to.
Navy SEAL, a Marine, a federal air marshal, and founder of Veterans for Child Rescue. He's done some amazing work. Also, Contraland. Make sure that you go get it. You can find him at vetsforchildrescue.org. Vets, the number 4, childrescue.org. He's on Twitter, Craig R. Sawyer. I think I got it all right. God bless you, my friend. We'll see you soon. More
you,
powerful conversation continues as PC Radio continues in 60 seconds. Go nowhere.
Radio show with Stu and Rich. Back in a minute.
What is a vacation? A slice of time, a peace of mind, a break, an escape, that need you want. It's the place you dream of. It's paradise. It's romance. It's choices. All included, all unlimited. Forget what you left behind. Live the now. No schedules, all desires. Night falls, day breaks, you wake up beautiful. Different, connected. Two hearts, one soul. This is the time of your life. This is Sandals. Save up to 65%. Call 1-800-SANDALS.
I always thought it was me, that I was the reason all these diets never worked.
This is genuinely not a temporary fix. There's some serious psychology behind it.
It's funny how much smarter I feel like Noom has made me. It's the simple things.
Once I understood why I was making those choices, it was easy for me to change those habits, and weight loss came naturally after that.
I've been on Noom for 4 months now. I've lost 27 pounds, and I feel like I got my life back.
Visit Noom.com and lose the weight for good.
The enemy of progressive politicians and politically correct assholes. PC Radio worldwide at the PCRadioshow.com.
And welcome back into the 2.4 million of you that listen live on iHeartRadio. You must have found the station. That's Mojo50. Get over there and do that. Download the OpsLens app to make sure that you stay in tune with everything going on amid all of the censoring, banning. You just never know when I'm going to be gone from Twitter. By the way, I'm over on Telegram. And make sure that you subscribe to our Rumble account, PC Radio. You can search it out there. Joining us right now is Jordan Sarmo. We're going to call him an insurrection journalist. It's kind of an official title. How you doing, Jordan? Welcome to PC Radio.
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
So you were at this violent scene, where all the damage and carnage was created by Trump supporting, American loving, freedom embracing patriots. That's at least the narrative that we're being spoon fed at nauseam over and over and over again. They're repeating it like a bad Britney Spears song until you finally say, "Well, that's a hit." And so, anyway, you were there. You got some footage, and this is never before seen footage because it was given to us by Jordan, who has also been working with the Giuliani team. I hope I'm allowed to say that because I just did. But in providing all the evidence to the right people, how about that? We'll just say that. Now that the cat's out of the bag, it is what it is. Listen, there are thousands of videos like this going around. There is evidence all over the place that proves that Patriots were not responsible for inciting this violence. Now, am I saying that Trump supporters did not make their way into the rotunda or into the air? No, I'm not saying that. All right, so before you crucify me over here and leave more garbage comments below the Rumble video, I just want you to understand, I'm not saying that I don't believe that there were some bad actors inside of the Trump camp. There's idiots in every camp, all right? But yep. I'm the first guy out here saying, you know, you don't judge one bad apple by, or all the bad apples, or all the apples by one bad one. There we go. I got it out. And so the majority of the incitement was being done by other groups. Now, we don't know who specifically they claim allegiance to, whether they're Antifa, whether they're Black Lives Matter, or whether they work for the CCP. I really don't know. But the fact remains is that these people were not Trump supporters, or at least do not look like them. We're going to let you decide. Jordan has done a really good job of kind of narrating this stuff. So if you're listening on the air and not viewing it, you'll be able to listen and kind of carry along. But also, you're going to want to see this. So make sure that you go watch this on Rumble after you listen to this live show. So we're going to start off with one of these videos, Jordan, and then we'll be back to talk to you more about this.
All right, so the first of the actors, instigators, these two guys, they were always together, always, and they never left the grassy area outside the Capitol. The entire time, all they were doing was trying to get us to attack the Capitol, to riot, and to also attack the police. As you can see in this photo, look at them. They're just telling people what to do, and they're always together. Here they are again. Another picture of them here. These two guys. And I actually got a video. I'm going to show you guys of them telling everyone to go into the Capitol. What, you guys just want a good YouTube video? Go in there and grab something. Just listen.
When you go in, keep your face to the ground and push. And grab something and pull it back.
Grab a leg.
Then go back in, grab something, pull it back out. There's only so many cuffs. There's like 5 million people here.
You hear that? Go in there, grab something, go get a ledge, go whatever. And these guys, I mean, if you notice everyone around them, they're just standing and looking at them like, dude, shut up. Like, these guys were instigating the entire time. That's the reason why they were there. This guy actually listened to him and got his ass pepper sprayed. I'm going to post this video. Actually was just on another.
And that's one thing that I was noticing, Jordan, is that everybody that's around him, all these Trump-loving patriots that are there to listen to the president speak, to be there peacefully and patriotically as the president directed them to do, right? Because that's what he said. Let's not forget, he said peacefully and patriotically. And they're looking at him like, you effing idiots. What are you talking about? Storm this place, keep my face down and wreak havoc and grab something and make a good YouTube video. You were there. Take us there.
No, yeah, I remember when we got to it was on the right side of the Capitol. We were still in the grassy area, which is where those guys were. And my dad was actually the first person to notice it. He was like, these guys are not with us. Like, these guys. And so then eventually my dad started yelling, you go do it. And he's like, you go do it then. Go ahead. You lead the way, you know, kind of like antagonizing him. And that was the first time I realized, oh, snap. There are some people here. And then I started noticing there was a girl behind me and she had a megaphone and she was, you know, saying, you know, obviously she would say the right word, stop the steal. But then, you know, and I would notice a sticker on the megaphone that said F Antifa. And I'm like, that's kind of weird. Like, you're not so blatant about it. And then, you know, she's like, we got to fight. And so there was just a lot of antagonizers and it was like this game of chess where they had them in every single point. Every time you would get closer, there'd be another one. And the whole point of these antagonizers was to, and you would feel it. Like, I even felt it myself where you would feel this, like, yeah, we got to fight. That was the natural emotion in reaction that you would have because it's all happening so fast. But then when my dad started talking to those guys, that was when I was like, these guys are here to literally just antagonize and try to get a rise out of the crowd.
Yeah. We've got some more video that you've been so gracious as to provide here and bring to us. This is important stuff, folks. Watch this.
I got these guys like crazy. But this
now, this is the same guys.
So open about it. Yeah. Well, check this guy out. He's got a freaking radio. Who the hell are you talking to, homie?
Right.
And listen to them. They're just, they stayed in the grass the whole damn time.
That guy is not a patriot. I mean, I hate to be the guy that you know, I'm out here stereotyping, but look at this guy. He looks like a friggin' paratrooper or somebody that fell out of a bad Drew Carey movie. I mean, this guy is with his ski goggles and everything else on. This guy came prepared for violence.
Yep.
And then you pointed out really great investigative skills, by the way. He's wearing a radio that's got a speaker mic on it. Like, yeah, who the hell are you talking to, bro? The videos continue.
And he wasn't talking to his buddy because his buddy didn't have a radio. So I'm like, who is he communicating with? Which means there's other people around the area that he's talking to, because
yes,
the buddy that he's next to doesn't have a radio.
And you heard the stop the steal chant that was coming, what sounded like from Patriots, and that's something that we've all been saying for quite a while. But then you saw him turn around and go, yeah, who's gonna stop it? You? Who's gonna stop? Let's go. We gotta stop it. And he was very clearly inciting this stuff. You pointed out some stuff. Now there were some cops that were assaulted. We had it was tragic, but we have now evidence here that it looks like the same group of agitators that were responsible for this. Take a look.
All right. So this next video is it's from the exact same scene, but right after it, as you can see, the cop is right here, coming back up. And what I'm going to show you in the remaining part of this video is how they would attack the cops. They were always working in groups. Now, I don't think these guys that are about to attack the next cop were actually in the air to get this one, because there was another group of guys up more up top, which obviously you saw them pushing them down to get out of the way. But watch this in real time, and then I'll explain. All right, this is so crazy. Watch this. So you have this guy right here. Then hoodie guy is going to come from behind him and put his hand on his shoulder to let him know he's there. Right there. See that? He puts his hand on his shoulder, letting him know that he's there. He looks back, look, okay, my boy's here. Now watch this. Then there's going to be cowboy hat guy behind him. And he's going to put his phone up to record the attack. As you can see, it's red. He is ready to record, and he's going to put his phone up to record the attack. And then this guy is standing to the right of the cop to block people from rescuing him. Watch this. That is what was happening the entire time. You had groups of guys in each section working together. And it made Trump supporters look really bad. And
that is some really great investigative discovery by you. That's a great job of breaking down that video. You called it. I mean, he's standing there and he feels. I mean, Richard, when we stack up and go in somewhere to grab a violent offender, this is how you do it. I mean, you stack up, you let your buddy know you're there, you feel each other, you follow each other's movements, and these guys were specifically trained, like you pointed out, Richard, and Jordan, you did a great job articulating that. And then you're right, the cowboy hat guy, and for those of you listening, I'm trying to do my best to describe this, but you'll have to go view this on Rumble. The cowboy hat guy, his phone was red. It was on record, the little red dot at the top. And he knew that this was coming because he started filming before this assault on this cop happened. And so, yep, I'm here. Boom, camera goes up. Boom, assault happens. That is the video that then can be used then afterwards to show how terrible Trump-supporting patriots are.
Exactly. And that is what Trump supporters were up against the whole time. And if you notice in that video, if you go back and listen to it, you'll hear a lady go, "Who is it? Who is it?" Because throughout the entire day, when someone would attack a cop, I mean, Cowboy had asked me like three times and was asking the whole crowd, "Who has pepper spray? We got to pepper spray the cops." That is exactly what was happening, and everything's happening so fast. You're packed like a sardine. So someone attacks the cop and you don't even know who did. Like, it's so hard because everything is happening so fast. And, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, because everyone, you know, I'm not saying that there was no Trump supporters that committed violence,
right,
or, you know, but, you know, but my story is, you know, the media story is one piece of a really big pie. My story is another piece of another big pie. My story, what I saw for me in my story, this is what I saw.
Yeah.
And so when I actually got, when I got home, when I got back to the hotel that night, cause I had no phone service, I didn't even know people were inside the Capitol. Mm-hmm. Like I had no idea. Cause people were, you know, a lot of those groups of guys were trying to get in, but there was no way we were getting in. The cops would pepper spray and gas those guys out every single time they tried. And so when I got back to the hotel, you know, they're like, are you in the Capitol? I'm like, no one got in the Capitol. Like not one person got in. And like, we're looking at photo shoots and photo ops and videos of guys in the Capitol. I'm like, bro, I'm telling you right now, not one person got in. If they did, then they must've gotten in the side, but we were not aware of it at all. And that's what's, you know, shocking.
We know that earlier today, the rehearsal for the virtual inauguration was suspended and people were evacuated and there was a heightened security level for National Guard troops that were there. There was some fire that was nearby. Don't really know all the details on that, but I don't believe that it was connected. But they deemed it to be a threat, which I can understand because they need to do this. But this whole situation, as you look back at this footage and as you try to sleep at night, this has got to really disgust you. This has got to have a really uneasy feeling in your stomach, Jordan, as somebody who was there and witnessed all this and then watching the media's coverage of this and how shamelessly they're just willing to just immediately place the blame on Trump-supporting patriots. We are watching a real-life, as Richard pointed off the air, a real-life political suspense documentary or like a fiction movie almost happening right before our eyes. Does this make you sick to your stomach to watch this again over and over?
No, I mean, I knew when I got back, I mean, the messages that I got, I only took a picture. I didn't tell anyone I haven't posted on social media in 3 months.
Yeah.
And the first picture I ever posted was me on a plane going to DC. And just from that one picture that was on my story, you know, the messages I got, you domestic terrorists, how could, you know, and that, you know, I started feeling shame naturally. And then I realized, holy crap, the purpose of what ended up happening there, the purpose was to, one, basically paint every single Trump supporter as a domestic terrorist, as someone that, you know, and that was what probably was the scariest thing. And I knew it was actually a complete farce in a sense when the moment I posted these two videos on my Instagram, I got flagged. I got restricted on Facebook and Instagram within 1 hour. I still can't go on Instagram Live. I can't go on Facebook Live. I posted a picture of a dude praying at the Capitol steps. They deleted. They said that your account may be deleted for posting this photo due to a violent organization. And so it's just the whole thing makes me sick. And not only that, I have had so many stories come in. So many. I interviewed someone couple days ago. Her name is Joanna. She lives in New Hampshire, and she has she was there on January 6th. She didn't even go to the front part of the Capitol. She took one picture on the backside. She didn't even know that there was actually people, like there was a riot. To her, from all the way in the back, it just looked like, you know, people were just, you know, protesting and saying, you know, basically standing and hoping that Pence would do his thing. But with that, she gets back home in New Hampshire, and there's an article written by the local Black Lives Matter in New Hampshire, basically saying that she was a white supremacist. She's this. And now there's the local papers just printed about her with her face on it. They've destroyed her entire yoga business. And now she's in this place where she's figured. And that's what the scariest thing, and more than anything, is that because of what the media and the way that this entire thing has been painted, now what's happening is we're being censored. We can't share our story, let alone our own videos that we actually recorded. And now what's happening is they're using these violent leftist organizations and journalists to now attack the people that were there, even if you didn't even go to the Capitol, which 90% of the people didn't. There was about 1.5 to 2 million people there, and there was probably 10 to 15,000 people at the front of the Capitol.
This is, again, how, you know, Stu, we've talked about many times, this is how the dark side, if that's what we want to call it, is able to progress this bullshit as far as they have. They're well-trained, they're well-organized, they have a plan and they stick to it, And it's just a big group effort to destroy the folks who are like this woman, Jordan, that you interviewed. And so how do we, as the enemy of the dark side, we're the light side, we'll say, how do you combat that? Because it seems like all of us patriots that have a common goal, for some reason, we're not able to gather and form and carry out a plan like these folks are. And as much as I hate to say it, they do a really damn good job at getting their message across. And now they're doing a great job at destroying people like some small-time yoga studio owner that just went and took a picture in Washington, D.C. Why should she have to be demonized for just being in the city?
Exactly. And not only that, when I was live with her, you know, we probably had about 200 people on, and we were like, go on Instagram, go to this picture and report it. And I reported, and every single person that reported that photo that was inciting violence, because the photo, I'll send you guys a photo. The photo literally says, "Let's put her to bed." That's what it says on the caption. Look, we need to put her to bed. No white supremacist fascists in our community. And the response that we got back from Instagram was, "This photo does not incite violence. It will remain." And like that. So Instagram will take down a photo, and this is probably going to get me banned off Instagram, which sucks. But this photo, you know, of basically threatening and telling people to put her to bed is allowed. But a photo of me posting someone praying at the Capitol is domestic violence in a violent organization.
Doesn't surprise me at all. The Ayatollah, the supreme leader of Iran, is continuing to threaten to blow Israel completely off the map. But that somehow doesn't violate Twitter policies either. Another video here, pretty damning right now. And this is the one that I want everybody to watch. This video shows people that are not Trump supporters. These are Antifa people. These are people that are not patriots. They are actually breaking the windows, doing the damage, and then are stopped by Trump supporters. Okay, so if this isn't the proof right here, I don't know what is. Watch this. Love how he just turns around like nobody saw that. I mean, you're being videotaped 100 times, brother. And this guy is certainly not a patriot. And he's breaking this window. I'm going to show it to you one more time. Here he is. And then here comes the Trump supporter. And the Trump supporter there physically pushing him back and stopping this. We know that this was an extremely violent insurrection, and we know that after having now access to this video that's going around all over the place. Hold on a second here. I got
to
get some audio on this thing.
See you guys. You guys are fucking
where is it here? Damn it! This is the problem with live radio here. Here we go. Let me go back and start this over again. Check this out.
Fucking hey, man. Glad to see you guys. You guys are fucking patriots. Look at this guy. He's got covered in blood. God bless you.
Yes. Covered in blood. God bless you.
He said, "God bless you."
Look at this cop. I mean, here's this cop like, "Hey, guys, can I ask?" I mean, he was escorted in here by this cop. There's his photo op up there in the sacred place.
I've been making sure they ain't disrespecting the place.
Okay, just want to let you guys know this is like the sacredest place.
And they're going, "Hey, I'm just making sure nobody disrespects this place." There's laptops out there they could have totally taken, all those things. These guys were ushered through the door by Capitol Police right there. I mean, there is the footage that the media will never, ever, ever show you. It's insane.
Go ahead. I posted a photo in my Telegram last night. And you know, when he's in the Capitol, or he's in that room, but he's on the upper tier, and there's a photographer, like a professional photographer, and it's just like This guy has his own personal photographer following him around like this shit was planned.
Yeah.
And Richard, you said one thing that you said, like, how do we expose this or what do we do now? And what James O'Keefe said, you know, he said this like 2 or 3 days ago after he released that, you know, when he exposed the PBS guy where he said all Trump supporters' children and Republican children need to go to re-education camps. And he said the way that we fight this darkness is to expose them. And what you guys are doing and what we're doing is exposing the darkness with something, you know, with videos like this. And that is the way that, you know, the only way I know right now to fight back is literally exposing what they're doing, because that's the only thing they're going to be scared of now that dude's fired for, you know, for exposing the guy from PBS.
And we won't ever stop doing that.
The real trouble is I shouldn't even say it's the real trouble, but the biggest hurdle that we have as Patriots or the light side is fighting the mainstream media, because they are not on our side. They are not on the side of peace and the American people. You know, as we know, bad news travels faster. And so they're going to take the side of the people that are going to funnel them a ton of money and foster the narrative of the people that they're getting paid by. So exposing them is a great thing. And we just got to keep our eye on the prize, I think, and do what we can do.
They're scared. I mean, you saw a video that went around, I think it was yesterday, the guy from CNN, where he's like, he said that, you know, these big conservative influencers on YouTube and on social media get more views than CNN gets an entire day.
Yeah.
So like that's their next.
That's why they want to shut them down. That's exactly what they're doing. Afraid of having people actually view the truth in a more powerful manner than what they're able to deliver. Jordan Sarmo, great job, wonderful job, and thanks for your bravery in being here.
Thanks a lot, brother.
Speaking of the cancel culture, you will not believe what happened to me personally at 9:06 p.m. Central Time last night. I'm going to show you an email. The Patriotically Correct radio show is now under the threat of the cancel culture. They're canceling us one little bit at a time. That's coming up as we finish with more powerful conversation on PC Radio. Don't go anywhere. My name is Stu. That's Richard. Thanks again, Jordan, for being here. We'll be right back.
The PC Radio Show with Stu and Rich. Back in a minute.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Censored by Twitter, shadow banned on Facebook, and hated by fake news media. The Patriotically Correct Radio Show with Stu and Rich. Mojo 5-0 Radio.
Welcome back to the Patriotically Correct Radio Show. My name is Stu Peters. That is Richard Leonard. Find us on Rumble. Make sure that you subscribe to our channel. Also, get over to Twitter. Follow me at Real Stu Peters. That's at Real Richard J over there. I am on Gab at Real Stu Peters. I am in Telegram at Real Stu Peters. I am on Cloud Hub at Real Stu Peters. You cannot miss us. Just go find us. Make sure to get over to the PCRadioShow.com as well. Before we go today, my final word is going to be about the censorship that we had. Now, this is a shirt that we put up at the PCRadioShow.com. We have gear. We don't normally like super push it hard down your throat. We're not here to try to like sell you anything and make a ton of money on merchandise doing this. But we do offer patriotic supporting, law enforcement supporting, America freedom embracing apparel, things that, you know, say the message that we're all thinking. And here's one of them. Red, white, and blue lives matter. Really great design. It's got the red, white, and blue. It's got the flag there in the middle, kind of a distressed flag. Lives matter. Now, we were using Teespring in order to bring the store to you. And the Teespring app was kind of easy for us to use. And, you know, although they charge an extra, a huge amount of money for what I think are not necessarily the highest quality of product, but we did the premium ones and then took a profit hit, right? So we weren't making as much margin on each one of them. But as a result, ladies and gentlemen, of having this best shirt out there. Last night at 9:09 p.m. my time, I get this email from them, from Teespring. It has come to our attention that your Teespring account exists solely to fund and monetize content that spreads misinformation at scale. This misinformation has, in recent events, led to actual harm and violence. Our policies prohibit content that promotes harmful misinformation or groups known to spread misinformation, including content known to lead to harassment or violence, impediment of civic engagement, or threats to the health and safety of the public. You can read our policies here. For this reason, we can no longer support your business. Thank you for understanding, from Teespring. So there you have it. Teespring.
Unreal.
Another feckless, worthless, horseshit business that we now know to put on the list of people not to do business with. And Teespring will be hurt by this, I guarantee you, as the word gets out on this. We got to get out of here. We're up against a hard break. But Richard, is this unbelievable or what?
It is unbelievable. And you know what? It's fine. The hunt is on for a new place, yep, a new company to provide our shirts. And I'm sure we'll find one.
We're going to have a new platform. We're going to put our store right back up there. And we're going to feature the design. Hashtag Teespring sucks. How about that? I'll be a top seller with the middle finger like this for Teespring. Until tomorrow, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's the any way you can get to it. Remember, one day they're going to come for the car. And when they do, save the radio!